everyone, and welcome to WCET Frontiers Pod, where along with passionate educational leaders, we explore practical solutions and innovations for technology-enhanced teaching and learning in higher education. I am your host, Dr. Elaine Villanueva Bernal, STEM Digital Learning Strategist for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for WCET, and a full-time lecturer at California State University, Long Beach. For this episode, I'm so excited about this episode. We have Laura Sohm, founder and director for the May Center here in Long Beach, California. And I have had the pleasure of working with Laura in the last few weeks on the STEAM Ecosystem Expansion Demonstration Seed Project, which is a collaboration with the education nonprofit Dramatic Results, which is a STEAM education program based here in Long Beach. Teams of public libraries, school districts, and teacher preparation programs. We just finished our first week of seed summer camp at the Growing Experience, which is a 7-acre urban farm and community garden located within the Carmelitos Public Housing Development in North Long Beach, California, and is operated by the May Center as well. Welcome.
Thank you, Elena, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So just to start us off, can you talk to us about your work with the May Center and the Growing Experience?
Well, first of all, the May Center was founded about 8 years ago, and it was founded based on my experience as a former refugee and an immigrant in Long Beach. So I came to Long Beach in 1992 when I was about 10 years old as a refugee escaping the Khmer Rouge genocide. And so the May Center came about as a result of the needs of my community, the Cambodian community in the city of Long Beach. And so May is an acronym. It stands for meditation, agriculture, yoga, and education. And so these are the elements that I've observed that helped me build my resiliency, the things that I could share from my culture and here in America in Long Beach to help people cultivate their resiliency, their self-healing, and the ability to connect with nature and how to use nature and science as vehicles for healing. And so I'm extremely excited. And my background is in biochemistry. And so when I have kids coming in learning science in nature, I am extremely excited. And so we had a wonderful time. We spend, 8 a.m. to 4:30. 40 hours a week with these amazing kids. And they're just been exposed to the urban farm in Long Beach. I mean, from the chickens to the different tropical plants to desert plants and just being immersed in it. And so that's what we're doing. And a little bit about the Growing Experience Urban Farm. It's been around for 27 years. And so the May Center came and took over the site around March of this year, after it was shut down for about 2 years due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so, we want to thank the LACDA for actually founding the location 27 years ago, yeah. Seeing how important it was for the city to develop a space for training, job training in the green industry. And here we are, the May Center coming in 2022 and turning that into a great resource of, education, environmental resources, and then also providing food to the community. So it's really, it solves many solutions in our community, not only connecting science for the students and making it fun.
Yeah, and one thing that's sticking out for me right now, based on what you just said, is that you've observed these elements as far as building resilience within the community. And I'm curious about what you've observed about those elements.
Well, I started here when I was about 10 years old, extremely traumatized. So you could imagine the city of Long Beach school system receiving refugees, kids nonetheless, with extreme PTSD, gone through lots of violence, living in refugee camps. And it took me a while to kind of learn about our community and how things function. Mm-hmm. And as I was going through the, middle school, high school, and college here, I realized there's a huge disconnect between science and nature. And I was shocked how that is just a thing in our American culture. We don't think twice about nature. The way I started with my scientific interests was in the jungles of Cambodia. And blessing in disguise, you know, I was kidnapped when I was 6 years old, and I was abandoned to a couple of farmers living in the middle of the jungles who said, hey, you know, we don't have resources to send you to school, but nature is your school. So you're going to be roaming, exploring, and learning from nature. And so they opened up the whole jungles to me and they said, this is your school. So it took me almost a year to figure out what they meant when I start to observe all the patterns of nature, the seasonal changing, plants grow and die and recycle back into nature again. And I reflect that onto myself, you know, learning about myself from learning about nature. And so I remember all these things. And I asked, as I was going through academic, you know, years in America, I realized all these things that school is allowing me to do, it is so much easier to understand it as it's limited.
Yeah.
You know? And so I gamified, I made it a game. So I said, hey, what are the rules of the game? And so they told me, hey, here, this is American school. You need your requirements, A to G, then you go to college.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Right.
Here I am, 10 years old. I got into the fifth grade, mm-hmm. started to learn my ABC, and they said, you'll never go to college because you're so behind. But then I figured out the rules. So I said, you know what? This is just a game. So I'm going to take my summertime and go to college, Long Beach City College, yeah. and do some supplemental classes. So I graduated from Long Beach Poly High School with 4.2 GPA. I walked into my AP Calculus exam without studying, because I figured out that nature was my friend. And so I had to jump all the hoops to pass all my exam and then take time to really absorb it by being with nature. And students don't understand that. So parents and students think, hey, we're going to school and we're gonna absorb all these things, despite the fact that we can't connect, we don't like it. How do I get over that? And so it's extremely, you know, fearful environment for students to learn. So talking about the resiliency of our community is really bringing back nature, allowing students to absorb and to learn and to take time to really understand that science is in nature. We are nature. Learning about science is learning about ourselves. And then going into wellness and healing, a lot of us can't connect that science education is connecting to our ability to heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for a lot of us, we ask the question, how is that connection made? Well, here's an example. I was an extremely traumatized individual by learning that, hey, my nervous system has been triggered and I'm gonna go through a fight and flight mode for a long time. And that it's a normal process, but there's a process to calm my nervous system, being in nature, meditate, understanding my mind and body connection and the science behind it. And so when I learned about that of my body, I realized, oh, it's a process. I could calm down. I totally get this now. And so for students who don't have that kind of connection with science, the science of their body, the science of their surrounding, is very disorienting. It's very fearful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about my experience with science education has always been this external thing, right? You know, a science in a test tube, and we don't necessarily receive or even get exposed to that education of how science is really within us, within our bodies, within nature, within everything that is surrounded by us. And you know, seeing you work with the students, I love how you integrate science, especially chemistry, right? Especially chemistry. I am such a fan with the seed camp activities. And can you talk about those connections?
Yes. And so the things that popped up, for example, composting. I mean, the students gather around, they see the steam coming out of the compost pile, they smelled it, and they say, oh my God, this is just smelling. Laura, why did you bring this to this?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
Exactly, right? And then I said, well, okay, everything you're experiencing, everything you're smelling, everything you're seeing is actually part of a process. It's a normal process. Even the smelling, because that's an indication from the bacteria and the fungus and the insects working together. And then they start seeing the heat coming out and they're like, whoa, how could there be heat without fire, Laura? Right? Whoa, mind blowing. And then you take them to the next direction, which is like, okay, imagine you could warm up your house using the heat from the compost pile, green energy. And their mind just like clicks. Oh my gosh, that makes sense. And then making the connection with that was very powerful when you do our meditation. You know, I bring the students back and says, remember that yucky, ucky looking, you know, rotten mm-hmm. pile and stinky and steamy pile? And I said, life can sometimes feel like that. Our emotions, our anger, our frustration. And especially if you're going through middle school and high school, you know, our executive functioning in our brain hasn't been fully developed. Mm-hmm. So you're going through all of that. And it could feel so horrible, but it's a process and it's okay to go through that. And so connecting that, you know, science and spirituality and understanding ourselves allowed us to feel a little bit more grounded. And especially for middle schoolers, it's like, you're right. You know, I'm handling with a lot of intense emotions right now, but it's okay to breathe through that. And so that's, you know, that brings me back, you know, one of the lessons. And the other lessons, like photons,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really bring photons to life for kids and make that fun. It was amazing. And I gave them an example of an experiment that I went through myself when I was in the jungles. And I gave them, you know, from plant matters to dirt, to rocks, to metal, to plastic. And I gave them like 15 minutes to say, what do they all have in common? And this goes back to how I became a scientist when I was a kid. In the middle of the jungles, my foster parents were traditional Buddhists. And so they believe all things are connected. And I try to bring that with science. I try to disprove their spirituality with science. And I thought, okay, if I take the rock, and I crush it and I break into its smallest part, and I take, you know, meat and I break it into smallest part and plant matters, what do they all have in common? And so the students guessed, up 3 out of 11 students guessed it right. Atoms, the building blocks of all things. And they were just like, whoa, that makes sense. Okay, what are atoms? So we started talking about the photon, how the electron jumping from one orbit to another, or back to its orbit, and project out this photon. And I took them out under the sun, and I say, feel this warmth, photon, this light from the sun. And I shared with them the journey of this photon coming from the center of the sun that took 100 years to get to the surface of the sun. That's during their grandparents, great grandparents' time. And they're like, no way. So building that context for our kids is so important to learn science. Instead of being so intimidated by the books, textbooks.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, for myself, I was just an immigrant student who couldn't read in the fifth grade, couldn't read in the sixth or seventh grade. You give me a textbook that's all in English to study
science.
It's like, how are we expecting our kids to absorb all of that? And that's just, you know, an exceptional case. But we have cases where students are raised in a low-income area where their mm-hmm. parents have no scientific background. Some mm-hmm. doesn't have any education background. And their kids are left to themselves to read the textbooks, memorize it, understand it, pass the exam. And if you're lucky, you get to go to college and break the cycle that your families, you know, are stuck in, or you're born into that family who you may be the first person to go to college, like myself. And so it's a lot of pressure for our kids.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this is probably another podcast episode, but like the poverty itself, you know, from my understanding of poverty and the factors that contribute to it, like all that's traumatizing. And then when your body is traumatized, like it's really hard to take in that information. And what I love about it, you know, what the process that you've just described is that, you know, science is a sensory experience. It's not a textbook, it's not a test tube, it's not this generally, you know, or traditionally sterile environment. It's really something you can get a sense of, you know, and that you can like live through it. And I go on. And so, what I've appreciated about, you know, being in the growing experience is the emphasis on how crucial these, you know, like agriculture, you know, urban agricultural spaces are. I mean, you've touched a lot about that already, especially when it comes to science education. But I was wondering if you can talk about that, especially in the context of Long Beach. I mean, it's talked about poverty, right?
Right. It is, this place is a gem. Not too often you could find an urban farm, green space, training area, and a resource center for the community. Let alone, you know, the poverty that we're experiencing. When I came to this country, I lived in the 6th District, which is almost, you know, it's one of the districts that are experiencing high crime and high poverty. And so, but as students, we have to compete with other students who's coming out from a background, you know, like 1st or 2nd District, where their parents are a lot more educated. And so imagine all these kids, right, has no access to green space, doesn't even know where food is grown or how it is grown.
Yeah.
And then they're put into the school system that has all these requirements. So in the context of the city Long Beach, if we really want to focus on community resiliency and sustainability, we need to re-envision how we move forward and increase more green space, more urban farms. Because without the farmers, you don't get the food. Yes, you have all these fast food, you know, restaurants, In-N-Out, McDonald's, all out there. But we saw what all these fast food restaurants are doing to our kids with obesity and how that affects their right. health and mental health.
Right, right.
And so for us, we are doing whatever we can to preserve the space. But when we came here, how we came here was we got the news that they were going to bulldoze this urban farm site mm-hmm. after it's been in existence for 27 years.
Yeah.
And for the May Center, who sees the potential of such space to be used to connect, you know, students with science and nature, improving their academic performance, not only that, but their ability to heal themselves. Community resiliency, it was a big red flag for us.
Yeah.
And so we said, we're dropping everything, you guys. We got to come into this site and we must save it. We must continue it and maintain it. And so we did that. So for the city of Long Beach, I would say, you know, and I'm calling, this is a call to action mm-hmm. for everybody, especially scientists, you know, to help preserve green space and urban farms. For our kids, for our community. If you want to solve the issue of poverty, inequity in education, the need for job training, a better future that actually will embrace science and technology and take our humanity to the next level, we must preserve spaces like this, the urban farm, the green space. And so I'm calling the scientists, you guys, I'm a scientist. I'm calling you guys to come out and help. I'm calling the politicians, the leaders, you know, the policy changers, everybody, parents even, and kids. We must do this together to fight for space, for us to learn, to nurture ourselves, to bring us back to nature and rediscover who we are.
Wow, I love that so much. I'm like, you know, I was thinking like, you know, I have some compost to take over to the farm right now, but you know, but again, you know, thank you for that. Thank you for that call to action. And also, you know, like we're all scientists, right? That can participate, you know, in this work. So to that end, last question. So how can digital learning and higher education support and facilitate urban agricultural education, especially like we're still like year three pandemic, right? So especially there's still like a need for remote, you know, learning, virtual spaces, right? Outdoor spaces. So tell us about that.
Well, right now the space is a site that is hosting different internships for students from Long Beach Cal State as well. And so what I hope to bring into this space is a space to connect everyone and everyone. It doesn't matter if you're in college, it doesn't matter if you're a middle schooler, you're in the same space, learning the same thing, being connected to nature. And just by being here, the students get to see, oh, hey, hello, Caroline, you're from Cal State, you're doing your internship here? I'm doing my summer camp here. By bringing technology in, we're saying, hey, we are combining technology and nature. It isn't do away with nature and go straight for technology. It's about combining both. And when we're talking about the digital world, oh my gosh, we have 3D printing machine here at the farm. Can you imagine that? We have tilapia farm, but we can 3D print anything we want. Equipments from grafting plants, learning about genetics, learning about, you know, cross-pollination, having microscopes here that is connected to our cell phones and our projector.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just phenomenal when you could combine all of these things together. And so with the higher education, I say, and this is speaking from someone, you know, when I was in college, I felt I was sheltered because I really need to be exposed to my community. And an urban farm is a beautiful place to connect to your community, taking your mind out of the textbook and say, oh, this is what it is. This is what my community needs. How then do I take what I learned in college and craft solutions that are needed in my community? And so those are some of the thoughts and the things that are we doing here at the farm. And we have people who are doing their PhD, you know, from different fields, from art to science to pharmacology to doctor.
Amazing.
I mean, there's no separation.
Yeah, there isn't.
The biggest mistake that we made was to separate everything. You know, we say science should be in a lab. It shouldn't be in nature. What? Who said that? Right?
Oh my gosh. So with that, again, thank you for sharing your experience with us, your wisdom, your everything. Just gosh, I'm just so happy to hear from you. Folks, for the audience, again, we just had this amazing conversation with Laura Somme, founder and director of the May Center here in Long Beach, which also operates the Growing Experience. And again, I am Elaine Villanueva-Bernal from WCET. You can actually learn more about the Growing Experience and the May Center through social media, Instagram or Facebook. So go ahead and follow that, give them a follow there. And again, thank you for listening.